that we do have to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad He's our Savior. He's the one that loves us and does all good things for us. Brother Tom, I'm glad to see you do that. I'll tell you, I'm about to burn up. He can take off his purple jacket, I can take off mine. Just different shades. And we didn't get together on that either. All right, tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. I want to begin a series tonight. I very seldom do a series on Wednesday night, but we're going to try to. I have trouble with series anyway. I have problems staying on the same subject for very many weeks because I'll get to studying something else and that gets my attention, and I have to go off on that. So you bear with me. We'll try to get through this, and I want to just bring a few messages on the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, and verse number 22. Now, in the verses preceding or before verse 22, you have the apostle talking about the flesh and how it wars against the Spirit. He gives us some of the things that are the works of the flesh. And then in verse number 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian people and tells them that the fruit of the Spirit are those things that we desire, those characteristics of life that ought to be in every child of God, that should be in every Christian. And we're going to be looking at these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Now you'll notice here that the Bible does not say that that this is the fruits of the Spirit. It says it is the fruit of the Spirit. And these things that we'll be looking at are different aspects or different avenues of the fruit of the Spirit that we have in our life as a child of God, as a Christian. And tonight we're going to look at that very first one, and we'll go down through all of them in the weeks to come. And we'll look at each one of these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight, the first one that is mentioned is that fruit of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And we want to deal and look upon that tonight. And then next week, the Lord willing, we'll look at joy and then on through peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and meekness, and those things that God has given to us. But this thing of love is one of the greatest assets that God has given to mankind, the ability to love, the ability to have God's love placed upon us, and the ability for us to express the love that we have one to another, and those things that God has instilled in us, and that great thing that we can love God. It's an amazing thing that God would permit us to love Him, that He would even give us a means whereby we could come to Him and could show Him that we love Him and that He loves us. And the Scripture says we're to love one another. The Scripture says that we're to have that bonding, have that thing with each other, that we have compassion and love with family and friends and church family and physical families. And this thing of love that God has given us, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And we can stop there and just say nothing else and realize and understand that God has given us these things for our benefit and for our good. Christian character is more than just having something that is correct and right and moral and looks right, but it's a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, of these things that we look in and that we'll be looking into in these next few weeks. That word fruit, it just simply means that which originates or comes from something. It's an effect or it's a result of something, the result or the product of some action. Now, I called up the house a while ago. I said, "Sharon, bring me an apple." She said, "What do you want with an apple?" I said, "I just want an apple." She said, "Sorry, part of your message, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, I just need an apple." Everybody knows what an apple is. Boy, it's red and shiny. You can just shine that up. And you know what? That's the fruit. That's the result of an apple tree. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of learning, a whole lot of understanding to understand that is the result of somewhere, someone placed in the ground a seed, and it brought forth a tree that later would produce fruit. And the Bible says that we are to be fruit bearers. The Bible says that we are to be that which would bring forth fruit abundant in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit, that which is to be brought forth in our life, that which is a result of something, some action that has happened, is this fruit of the Spirit that we're going to be looking at in these next 7 or 8 weeks as we look at these 9 different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And so it originates, it comes from somewhere, it comes from something, it's an effect, it's a result, and it's the product of some action. And so we find that the fruit of the Spirit is that which we look into, and it's a result of what God has done in our life. God has made us a new creature. God has placed within us that desire to serve Him, that desire that longs after Him, and has that that desire in our life to serve and to look to Him for all the things that we have. And we want to look at the love that God has for us, what kind of love it is, the kind of love that we have one for another, and how that God uses that in our life, that we bring forth fruit unto Him, abundant fruit, abiding fruit that will last forever and forever. We've been looking in these weeks, these last few weeks, concerning the thing of soul winning and how important it is to tell people about Jesus Christ, and how important it is to keep the witness going and keep things flowing from the house of God unto a world that's in darkness. You see, we are the light of the world, and if the world is in darkness, therefore we must take to them the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they're ever going to get out of darkness, they must have the path of light, and that light, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the thing that we do, the fruit of the Spirit, this thing of love, we do what we do because we love a world that's dying. We love a world that hates even the things that we desire in our life. Jesus came and died for a world that hated Him because He loved the world, and He gave Himself for it, a ransom that many would come to know Him as Savior. And so tonight we want to look at this aspect of love, the divine love that God has for us and that we have for Him. And we notice in Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 37, and this love that we have, Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Now that takes care about everything that we have in our life. The Bible says here, "We shall love the Lord thy God." He's our God. He's our Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are to love Him with all the heart that we have, that innermost being that we own, our heart, our soul, and our mind. You see, love comes from the mind, love comes from the heart, love comes from the soul. Love to God that we have for Him comes from within us. It's an outward expression of that which God has placed within us. It's a divine love, a love that worships God. The Bible says in John chapter number 4 and verse number 24 that God is a Spirit. And if we worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we're going to worship God, we've got to worship Him as He is, as a Spirit. We've got to worship Him as He desires, and that's in truth. And so this love that we have for Him, that divine love that comes from God, makes us desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship means that He's worthy. That word worship means that just worthy of honor. And of course, Jesus Christ is the only one that is worthy of honor. He's the only one that's worthy of our love that He's given to us, that we can give back to Him. And so the Scripture says that if we worship Him, if we're going to do it, if we're going to worship, we must worship in accordance to the Spirit of God and according to the truth of the Lord Jesus, the truth of the Word of God. I've said many times, there's a lot of churches have the Spirit, but they don't have any truth. And a lot of churches have truth and don't have any Spirit. Now, I don't know which one's worse. If you can get the Spirit and the truth together, you can worship the Lord, you can serve Him, you can honor Him, and you can do those things that He has given us a record in the Word of God, that we're to follow Him and have the path of God in our lives. So this divine love that we have, that we love Him with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, that love that God gives to us that we can give back to Him is a love that worships Him, that adores Him, that looks to Him. Now we all fall short there, don't we? We all have difficulty adoring Him as we should. The Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation that one of those 7 churches of Asia, the only thing that the Lord had against them was that they'd left their first love. They had departed from that. They'd gone a different direction. They had departed from the love that God had for them, and they got involved in things that were not right and not good, and the love of Jesus Christ grew cold and indifferent in their services and in their hearts as individuals. And that love that God gives us should be a love that stays warm and stays a love that would be desirous to serve Him and whatever it takes just to be right with the Lord, just to worship Him. A love that is a divine love not only worships God, but it waits on the Lord. That love that waits upon God and says, Lord, whatever You say, whatever You want, whenever You want it, I will take care of it and I'll do it then. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and verse number 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But who is that that will walk and not faint? Who is it that will mount up with wings as eagles? Who is it that will not grow weary in well-doing? It's those that wait upon God. Those that just say, "God, I'm waiting upon You for an answer." It gives strength, and He'll give us power, and He'll give us guidance and direction of life, and just to be patient and wait upon Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's loving Him with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our mind. That's loving Him to the point of worshiping Him. That's loving Him and saying, "God, I'll move when You say move. I'll go when You say go. I'll stop when You say stop. I'll do these things as You direct me. God, I'm waiting upon You." And Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord," those that have the ability to wait upon God and to say, I'm not going to move till God says I'm to move, and to stand still. The Lord told one of His Old Testament patriarchs, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." What was He telling him? He was telling him to be patient. He was telling him to wait. He was telling him to wait upon the Word of God. A love that will wait, a love that will worship, is a love that will work for God. It's a love that will do the things that God gives us to do. We've been dealing with these verses the past few weeks concerning the commission that God gave unto the churches. And God said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." God said, "Go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus said, "I give you all authority, all power is given to Me. Go ye therefore," because He has the power, because He has the authority. He says, "Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature," and then to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them again to observe the things of the Word of God. And all that comes a work for Jesus Christ. It comes because we have that divine love that God's given us, that we desire to work for Him and to have that right fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so we find that when we read the scripture here in Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a love that will help us. It's a love that will correct us. It's a love that will command us. It's a love that will give us all these things to serve Him and to live and to work for Jesus Christ until He comes. And I don't think we've got much longer to work. I believe work time's about over. I believe we're going to punch the clock here before too long at the end of the day, and that's going to be all of it, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. But until He does come, we are to be working for Him. There's a song in our songbook that says, "Work till Jesus comes." There's night coming. There's night approaching that no man can work. There's a time coming when people that are our neighbors and our friends and our families, there's a time coming when we'll not have the opportunity to go witness to them. There's a time coming very soon and very shortly that's coming that we'll not have that opportunity, because we'll be gone and the world will be in such chaotic turmoil. Somebody said, "I don't see how the world can get any worse." Well, just hang on. It's going to get there. Just wait a little while. "I don't see how things can get any more disturbing than they are now." Well, just wait till the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is removed, and that restraining force. Now, don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit is not removed from this earth in the rapture. Some people believe that. Some people teach that. But it's just His restraining force that is removed, because we are the salt of the earth. As the child of God, we are that preserving element of this world. And when we are removed, that preserving and that element of preservation is removed. That restraining force of the Spirit of God is removed from the world. But He'll still be active, and He'll still be acting in the affairs of men and the affairs of things. And we've got a work to do as Jesus, His time of coming approaches. It's a divine love that we have. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Not only that, but it's a dedicated love. A love for friends. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 39, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's a love that is one not only for friends, but also for foes, those that would despitefully use us. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter number 5, if you would turn there just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 44. Now remember, we're to love our friends. Not hard to do that, is it? Not hard to have compassion for friends, those that care for us, but what about our enemies? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, the scripture says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." And that's Jesus doing the talking. He says, "Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," or mature, complete in him. And so the scripture says, what good is it if we only love them that love us? What good is it that if we salute or are friendly to those friendly to us? And the scripture says, the Lord says, love your enemies. He says in verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbors and hate thine enemy." And Jesus said, "I say, love your enemies." Now Jesus gives us command that we are to be dedicated to him to the point that we love those that would hate us, those that would really despitefully use us and be against us. The Lord says here, love them and show that compassion and show the love that God, the fruit of the Spirit is love. If we have the Holy Spirit living and working in our life, if we have the work of God in our souls, then we will love those that will hate us. We will love those that will spite, use spite against us. Those that have no desire whatsoever to have the things of God. Well, Jesus came and he says in John chapter 15, in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Thank God we're his friends. Jesus laid down his life for his friend, but he also laid down his life for his enemies. He also died for those that hated him. He died for those that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in the guile of bitterness and in the hold of Satan, Jesus loved us and he died and gave himself for us. And so we find that it's a dedicated love. A love for friends, a love for foes, a love for those that would be against us. John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, "By this," what's that? "By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples." By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you have that compassionate heart and have that dedicated love, that fruit of the Spirit that works in your soul. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. All those things. But he says here that we are to love, and greater love hath no man than what Jesus did for us, that he laid down his life. And therefore, because he did that, we are to love one another and have that that divine, dedicated love that he gives us. It's a love that is sincere. It's a real love. A real love brings respect. Things that are real. A love that shelters. A domesticated love. A love that will give and will take. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse number 8, it says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Worse than that word infidel means an unbeliever. If a man will not take care of his own, if a man will not do for himself and for his own, he says here that he's denied the faith and he's worse than one that has that is a denier and is a unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fruit of the Spirit is this love of constraining us to serve him and giving the desire to serve others at the same time. Now the reason we're going to go out Thursday night, and the reason we're going to go out and talk, and the reason we do that at different times is because we have that love in our heart that God has given to us, that a world that's dying and we don't want them to die. We don't want them to go to hell. We don't desire that they experience that God tells us is was made for the devil and his family and his foes and those that were against God and made for the devil and the enemies of God. Wasn't made for man. So therefore we love them and we tell them the story of salvation. Because we are constrained of God, we are commanded of God, we are commissioned of God to go and to tell them. Why? Because we have that fruit of the Spirit, which is love. We're concerned about people. You know, folks, sometimes we don't get concerned about people until it's too late. Sometimes we don't get too concerned about folks until we find out they're in the hospital. We don't get too concerned about people until we find out that there's been some dreaded disease put upon them. We don't get asking too many questions while everything's going well. But God says that we're to be concerned at all times. God says we're to have that concern and compassion at all times to find out and to desire the things of life for them of eternity, that they would live for the Lord Jesus Christ and live in eternity with Him forever and forever. And so this love that God gives us is a divine love. It's from above. It's a dedicated love. It's a love that we are to have. And it should not be affected by circumstances. It should not be affected by the way we feel. It should not be affected by things that we do. It shouldn't be affected because we see a world that's dying without God. We see a world that has no hope whatsoever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a world that has no hope and no one to tell? A world that has no hope whatsoever and nobody to tell them the truth. You see, tonight we hold in our hands the power of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce joints and marrow. The thoughts, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We have within our grasp and we have within our possession the power of God that brings about the ability for God to bring salvation to an individual that's lost. But if we don't love them, it'll not do any good. If we don't have that fruit of the Spirit of love in our heart working, then it'll not do and not suffice to serve and to live for Him. It'll not do any good if we just do it out of habit and out of form and fashion. We've got to do it in accordance to the Word of God, and that's in love. Compassion. There's enough ways, there's enough means, there's enough how to do it books, there's enough ways of trying to figure out how to do all the things that have to be done, but I'll tell you the things that we leave out and the things that we have forgotten so many times is that we are supposed to care about people. We're supposed to care about those that are lost. We're supposed to have a compassion to those that need something from the gospel. I read off tonight, if I can find who with it. I read off tonight a list of many people. What did I do with it? Many people that are sick and many that are in the hospital, some that have died. I have a passion and a desire to pray for them and to love them in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That when we find others that are hurting and others that are having difficulty and others that need things, we are to have that heart of compassion toward them. When I heard this afternoon that Miss Frizzell had cancer, my heart was grieved. Literally was grieved. A lady that has seemingly much life and much vitality and a lot of fun to be around. And has the disease come upon her that by all probability will make many changes in her life. And so our heart ought to be moved by that. I find these others that have cancer that affect families. These others, Betty's sister that has cancer, has come back. It affects family. And we're to have compassion and we're to have that love for those that have needs of Jesus Christ. I find Lou Dean's brother passed away. I can remember just a little while back she was very concerned about him because he was lost. And I believe that he trusted the Lord and got saved. That he didn't have to die in that same shape that needs the Lord. I find these that are in the hospital laying there not knowing from what in 1 hour to the next hour what's going to transpire and what's going to happen. Laying there not realizing, not understanding and not knowing all those things. But I'm glad we can have one of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we can have one of fellowship with others and can go and pray and just rejoice in knowing of the Lord Jesus as Savior. In the hospital that are lost and to have no hope of the doctor and to have no hope of eternity. It's a different thing when you go to the hospital bed and sit beside them or stand beside them and you pray together and know that there's hope. Know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's Jesus Christ. And know that there is, yes, the valley of the shadow of death. And we will walk it, and we do walk it. But thank God we have one that goes there beside us. We have one that will help us. We have one that will carry us through. And so we can have that love of the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit that's love to break our heart and to burden our souls with things of other people. Families, family members sick, family members having problems and difficulties, and whether it's finances or whatever it is, we are to be moved by that because we are a part of the family of God. We have compassion. Sometimes I find my compassion dwindling. Sometimes I find it sort of on the back burner and things don't affect you like it ought to. And all of a sudden you begin to realize you're cold and indifferent. All of a sudden you don't have that desire and that heartbeat for other people. And may God help us to continue to have care for others, to have care for people that are really in need. There's a description of love given in the New Testament that I don't think it could ever be improved upon. You can't improve the Word of God. And there's a description of love given in the book of 1 Corinthians. And that's chapter 13. We've read many times. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4 and 5 and down through those verses. We'll read them. 4 through 7, then verse 13. The word charity there is love. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, that means it's not selfish, is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 13 says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. All the other gifts, all the other things, they've passed away. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. It doesn't stop there. That's not the end of the sentence. That's not all of it. It goes on and says, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I found a poem not too long ago on this. Really, it was taken from these verses of Scripture. It was written by Helen Steiner Rice. And if you've never read any of her poetry, you ought to. And she writes in conjunction with these verses. Says, love, God's gift divine. Love is enduring and patient and kind. It judges all things with the heart, not the mind. And love can transform the most commonplace into beauty and splendor, sweetness and grace. For love is unselfish, giving more than it takes. And no matter what happens, love never forsakes. It's faithful and trusting and always believing. Guileless and honest, never deceiving. Yes, love is beyond what man can define, for love is immortal, and God's gift is divine. The love that God gives us, and the love that God has shown unto us, is that divine gift. Love is patient. Verse 4 and 5, it says, suffereth long. One of the things that we'll be looking at in the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Long-suffering, able to bear problems, able to, it's real love, is patient. Not only does it suffer long, it's kind. Not only that, but it endeth not. It means it's not jealous. It goes on and says it vaunteth, and it doesn't show itself. It doesn't parade itself. Love is that's real. It doesn't seek its own. It doesn't look to itself. It's not self-willed. It's not always considering other people. And the love, the fruit of the Spirit, that's love, is considering those that are dying in sin without Jesus Christ. So love is patient. It endures forever. It's patient. It's long-suffering. It doesn't think any evil. It's not easily provoked. Something that is real love doesn't provoke you. Then the second part, verse number 6, it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love that's real will praise. Love never rejoices in failure. I've heard people almost mock and make fun of somebody that's failed. That's not love. The Bible says here, love, or it does not rejoice in iniquity, sin, failure. Love doesn't gloat itself over things and say, well, I knew they wouldn't make it. That's not love. That's that old self-will. I knew there's wrong. I knew there's something wrong. I didn't know what it was. I knew this. I knew that they'd fall. That's not love. The Scripture says here that rejoices, love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in failure, but only in truth and success. Not only is it patient, not only does it give praise, but it gives protection. The Bible says it beareth all things. That means it understands, it forgives. That means when there's problems and arise and difficulties, love works out those things, and it just goes on. It beareth all things. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love that beareth all things, understands, forgives. It goes on and says, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Whatever thing come, the love of God helps us through that. Not only is it patient, not only does it give praise, not only does it give protection. In verse 13, it tells us it's permanent. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. Those things are good. Thank God for faith. Thank God for hope. But the greatest of all of those things is charity. The greatest of the things that God lists here is love. And it's the first thing that God lists as one of the avenues or the aspects or the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we as the child of God ought to know that description of love, how it's patience and gives patience. It's long-suffering. How that it does give praise where praise is due and honor. How it does give protection. It bears all things. It endures all things. And how that it lasts forever. You see, the love that God had for us is the same love that brought the Son of God into this world. The same love that brought Him is the same love that took Him to the cross of Calvary. The same love that took Him to the cross of Calvary is what permitted the Roman soldiers to drive the nails in His hands and feet and the spear in His side. And that same love is what permitted them to take Him to a barred tomb and put a rock on front of it, put a guard on it, and put a soldier there, just to guard a tomb. It's that same love that one day came and said to Thomas, said, you put your hands in my hand and thrust your hand in my side. That same love is the one that when He left here, they said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus. By the same love, He's coming again because He cares for us. That same love that came from God, came to through Jesus Christ, has come to us, and we are to give it to the world. That's the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. May God help us as a child of God, as a Christian, to exercise that fruit, to exercise that portion that we talked about a moment ago. That fruit is a result of something. This fruit here is a result of a tree that had a blossom and a bloom and matured and grew, and it's now something that can be enjoyed. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It can be enjoyed. The fruit of the Spirit is that which can blossom in our heart and come without outside of us, that the world can look and say, there's something different about that fella. There's something different about that lady. There's something that's radiant about them. You know what that is? Should be the love of God. And we have care and compassion for those in sickness, those in need, those in dire problems. We hurt where they hurt. If our children get hurt, we hurt. If our children do wrong, we suffer with them. If our children say things and are not as they should be, then it hurt. You know why? Because we have that love that's unbreakable. Same thing between us and God. Same thing between, it should be between us and us. That bonding together of serving because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love Him because He first loved us. May we, as we look in these verses, just two little short verses. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all those things. As we look into those, may we understand those two short verses have an eternity world of wealth that'll help the child of God, because as a Christian, we have the Spirit of God living within us, and we are to bear fruit. The Scripture says, bear fruit. Bear more fruit. Bear much fruit. Bear abundant fruit. And that fruit of the Spirit should be working itself out of our life to others. The fruit of the Spirit is love. May God help us to bear fruit, to be the right kind of Christian in this world that's all messed up. It's in a terrible shape. May the world know there's something real. There's something worth living for. Let's stand together tonight. As we prepare for a song, I pray the Lord would help us as a Christian to understand that love is enduring. It's patient and it's kind. As those verses that I read of that poem, it endures, it's patient, it's kind, it judges all things, and does it with the heart and not with the mind. God help us to have the love of Jesus Christ flowing in and through us. Father, bless now the time as we've come together to read and to study the Word of the Lord. I pray, God, You'd help us as Your children, as Christians, God, to have the fruit of the Spirit active and working in our life. God, so many times we bottle it down, and so many times we do not let the Holy Spirit of God work through us. But Lord, help us when we're out in this world. Help us, God, to be a shining light, to be that light that's not under a bushel but up on a hill. May we direct them to the lighthouse that is really the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And God, we can only do that as we love You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number? 3.
Notice those words you just said. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ. May God help us to have more love. That second stanza says, once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek. Give what is best. This all my prayer shall be. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. We love him. He loves us. More of him we must have. If we're going to serve him, if we're going to be what we should be, if we're going to do anything with this little old campaign we're having, if we're going to do anything, it's going to have to be because we love the world. It's going to have to be because we love our neighbors, our friends, and those that we've never met. It's because we love them. Let's sing that second stanza together.
Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be,
you. I pray we will have more love to him, that he might express himself more to us. Just love him, love others. It's fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's be dismissed in prayer tonight and remember all these requests that we had tonight, those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones, and just pray God would help each and every situation. The prayer requests that were given is unspoken. God knows about them. Don't just walk out and forget about it. Just pray. Pray, God, give me love. God, give me